Welcome to Wonder in Reality with Jim Harwell.
Glory to God. Welcome to Wonder Reality. This is Jim. The parable of the sower. This is part four. The main point of the previous message is that we partner with God Almighty. This is incredible. This is so clear from the parable of the sower and many other parables that Jesus gives that it's up to us. Our relationship with Him, 100% up to us. Now, yes, God is sovereign. I do believe that. He can come in and do anything that He wants. But 99.99% of the time, it's up to us. And this is a mystery. It is a glorious mystery. This is the central to the gospel, the glorious message of Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the Lord and Savior, who we have an opportunity to walk with. And when we walk with Him, we're walking with God Almighty. It can't be put into human words, this glorious mystery. The whole New Testament is an effort to put it into human words, and it really cannot be. And this should inspire us, it should motivate us, that what an opportunity we have to walk with Him, to know Him, and experience all these glorious things and the glorious new life that He wants to give us. And yet so few really receive it and walk in it and do it. And a big part of it is that we as the body of Christ and the world, we do not understand that this is a glorious mystery and that it's up to us. So, and as I said, in the body of Christ, there's a large portion of the body of Christ who don't believe this. They believe that, oh, it's God's sovereign and we don't have anything to do with it. We receive Him, but that's about it. And that's just not true. Next point related to this. Some other parables that drive this home for sure. I just came across, again, the glorious parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 had oil for their lamps, 5 didn't. And then the bridegroom came, and the ones without oil asked for oil. We must get the oil. The oil, of course, is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God. We must get the oil. Just heard the parable also of this another glorious parable. Remember, there's 42 in all. The parable of a man hosting a big marriage for his son. And at the end of that parable, there's a man there that didn't have on the wedding garments. We must put on the wedding garments. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, God, it's all simple. It's all up to us. Next point. This is common sense that spiritually it's up to us, because in the natural, it's like that for all of us as well. It may sound harsh and but it's a reality. In the natural, everything that we have to do, it's up to us to do it. We have to go get food to consume. We have to, many things. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It's in the natural. That is just, it's just so commonsensical and such a reality that it's just, we all know that that's the way it is. We have to go and actually be proactive and do certain things to survive, to thrive, and all of that. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. Very, very commonsensical. Remember that important part of the parable of the sower when Jesus said that those who do produce a crop, 30, 60, or 100-fold, they understand it. You know, and some of the ones that don't produce, they don't understand. So that's why I'm giving this little tiny message to just try to shed light on, to help us understand how glorious this opportunity is, how beyond our comprehension and more than we can imagine this opportunity is, that it's just to know and to walk with God Almighty. It can't be put into words. And the tragedy, this sad part of this, and it is a tragedy, is that a majority of people don't understand. They don't get it. They have a total misconception. Either they're totally missing the central truth, like those who are in other quote-unquote faiths. You know, they're totally missing it. But also, even those who are open to the gospel or those who have received it, they also, for the most part, don't get it. They don't understand that the opportunity of walking with Jesus Christ on a scale of 0 to 1,000 is infinity in terms of what He offers to us. What He offers to us, it's infinity. It's beyond our comprehension. Any other walk on the earth, you know, even the things that are quote unquote good, you know, someone having a good, simple life, and they get married, they have a family, they grow up, they're healthy, they're happy, they have their little, call it their little corner of the universe right there, and they're happy, and they live to be 80 years old, and then they die. Well, if they don't have Jesus Christ, what is that for? You know, Jesus said, what does it profit a man? What benefit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? So you could also say, what profit is it to a man if he's happy his whole life in his little corner of the world with his family and kids, and he's totally fulfilled, but he doesn't know Jesus Christ? He or she does not find the Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and so they live to be 80 and then they die, and then, well, what's going to happen? Tragedy. Even though on the surface that looks good. Tragedy. And one of the central aspects of that is those like that, they don't understand that this is the purpose of human existence. It's the reason we're here. Jesus offers complete and total fulfillment and beyond fulfillment, glorious fulfillment and eternal life, life everlasting. All those things that he offers that I've been mentioning and talking about, these people that don't get it, they don't understand that. And I made a list here of some of the things that keeps people from this understanding. And it's just so rampant. Even recently, I've been talking to people who are Catholic. And whenever you ask people, I'm not bashing Catholicism or Protestantism. I'm just making a point. Often when you ask them the open-ended question, please tell me about your relationship with God, they say, I'm Catholic. I go to Mass and I believe in God. I'm Catholic. That I'm somehow, it's the same thing as a Protestant saying, oh yes, I'm, they say, a denomination. Right when you ask them, you know, tell me about, I never mention anything about a denomination or what faith, the name of their faith. I ask them about their faith in God. I leave it up to them. And they almost always say, yes, I'm a Methodist. You know, I grew up in the Methodist church. I'm an Episcopalian. I'm a Baptist. None of those things matter. It's our relationship. And here's just some of these things. Number one, religion, right there. That's people somehow think that it's a religion, and that just turns people off completely. Number two, they think that this walk with Jesus Christ is this dry, boring, inhibiting thing. Last thing they want to do. Number three, they think it's no fun. They think that we have to give up having fun and so forth. Number four, many people think it's for weak people. And this is what keeps a lot of men from the gospel. They think, oh, that's for weak people. It's especially in the United States. It's, oh, I want to be independent. I've got to, you know, pull myself up by my bootstraps, be independent and strong. And so that keeps them from the gospel. Number five, many people have the misconception that we have to be poor and we have to suffer and we have to become a missionary and do these extreme things and we have to just sacrifice so much. You know, the gospel is so big and God Almighty is so awesome. Really, it's up to us how we walk with Him. And this is another mystery that if somebody thinks that they are called, if they come to Jesus Christ and they think that they're called to be poor and to suffer, well, they can do that. But if somebody else comes to Jesus Christ and they believe, well, you know, I believe God wants us to be happy and to be fulfilled and to even have prosperity. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about prosperity and all these wonderful things, peace and joy and hope and faith and prosper. And yes, may prosper materially and be healthy. Then they can have those things because God is so awesome and He's so big. And that it's up to us that that's the central truth. We're made in His image. We have a free will and we choose our path. Any path that we are on, we choose to be there, essentially, because we're made in God's image, because we are divine beings. Even someone who's not saved is a divine being who will exist forever. We're getting into deep, glorious truths here. Every person on the earth is essentially like determining their path through their actions, their beliefs, the words that they're saying, the thoughts that they have, but mainly their relationship or lack of a relationship with God Almighty. Every person is determining their path. There's a famous verse, Numbers 14:28. He says, the Lord says, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my hearing, so I shall do unto you. That's incredible, powerful. We are determining our path. And for the majority of people, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're determining their path. They believe in something else, or they're their own God, or maybe they have their God could be other things, materialism, money, entertainment, happiness, you know, just laughing and having fun, entertainment. You know, for some people it's music, or in the things related to music, or other people, movies, music, whatever. There's hundreds of these different things. That's where their heart is. These are deep truths. We are made in God's image. Next one. They don't understand this gospel. I've been talking about that. And how do we understand? Well, we need people to explain it. To, you know, let's get the word out there. And then even more than that, let's get the anointing. And then that's what really gets people saved and opens their spiritual eyes. I do want to give some practical things just in these final minutes. And I'm kind of titling it, Things That We Should Have Been Taught in School and Weren't. Some of us learn these things at home, but some of us don't. Some of these things related to, for example, diet and exercise and practical things, I do believe God wants us to be wise and to, you know, use common sense. And I heard a man of God say, you know, before we wait on the Lord, like early in the day, some practical matters are, you know, when we get up, get a shower, get ready, get, you know, and maybe get something to eat so that we're ready, you know, to wait on the Lord and that we're, you know, we are taking care of ourselves. I don't, you know, I just want, these are just some ideas. One time I was reading another great man of God's, one of his books, and the Lord had taught him and said to him that he's pleased when we lead a fasted lifestyle. So what I think he means by that is, you know, there's a place for fasting, and that's good. It can be good, you know, if we fast, like there's different levels of fasting. We can skip a meal and have water instead. You know, I'm a big believer in like purified distilled water. We can maybe fast certain food items, maybe fast meat or other or sweets or something. But a fasted lifestyle, an example would be eating smaller meals. You know, maybe eating four meals in a day rather than three bigger meals. Using some common sense, you know, don't overeat. Maybe cut out junk food. And I'm a big believer in eating living foods, fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, legumes, starches, you know, things. And some of those can be cooked. But, you know, when we cook food, I've heard, I'm not an expert on food, but just through my own experience, I've tried to learn as much as I can. When we cook food, it kills the vitamins and minerals. Now we still get calories, and sometimes the food tastes great. And I encourage people, eat the things that you really like. Yes, I think we should try to eat healthy. Healthy foods can taste great. And we can enjoy them. That's a key, is enjoying the food. You know, eating food releases endorphins, which are our natural healing agents in our body. And, you know, the big picture is there's many things that release endorphins in us that, again, it's kind of common sense, but I wish we had been taught this in school. Like, just to go out into the fresh air and get sunshine, yes, that's just... We all know that that's a healthy thing to do, but it releases those endorphins. You know, if we smile, if we laugh, I need to work on that. Smiling and, you know, having that positive expectancy. When we're with people who are positive and people of faith, that is also encouraging to us. People that we click with, of course. That releases endorphins. If we good food, you know, good smells, good thoughts, you know, all these things are just some common sense things to think about that can help us in our daily walk. And the more we do stuff like that, I think it does help our spirit person, and we can really practice the presence of God, seek Him, and humble ourselves before Him. So it is a challenging thing to think about sometimes the practical, because there's the spiritual. I've been, all of these messages, I've been focusing on the spiritual. I do believe 100% that's the answer. Jesus the Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Also, there's the practical side of things. And just related to what I said earlier in this message, you know, the practical side, we all know it's up to us. these things are up to us. Just our health. You know, we have to have a proper diet and exercise, and we have to get enough sleep and enough rest and all these things. That one time a man listed 16 things that are necessary for our health. 16. And the very first one, a proper relationship with God. The second one, proper relationship with all people. So, some things to think about, and if I get a response about if people are interested in these practical things, I'll continue offering just some my 2 cents worth. But again, thank you for listening. Glory to God forever.